The Beast Will Ascend Out of the Bottomless Pit. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 232. It's July 30, 2015. Today, the pit, the grave, hell. They all come from the same Hebrew words. It's important that we know the meaning and the context in which those words were spoken by the Spirit of God. Words are very important and their meanings are very important. What is the pit mentioned so often in the Bible? Now, it's not so easy. This one isn't, this question. As I said, many words, a little Hebrew, little Greek, attention to context. It goes a little deeper than we've had to go before. I'm using the King James Bible, and I'm using the concordance based on the King James Bible by another guy named James Strong. So we got the King James Bible and Strong's concordance as a point of reference. These aren't the only references you could use, but we have to start somewhere. Different translations of the Bible may have used different words in English. But the Hebrew, I believe, is pretty straightforward. When we start in the Old Testament, we're going to trace the meaning very, very carefully, for there is much false teaching built on a false understanding of the pit. Now, there are three Hebrew words that translate pit in your Old Testament. And I'm giving you the Strong's item number, so that you can do your own research on this. If you have a Strong's Concordance, look up word number 953. It's pronounced bor. I don't know how to spell it in Hebrew, but it's just bor, which means only a hole. That's all it means. It's a hole in the ground. It's used as a cistern. It's used as a prison sometime, this hole in the ground. It's translated cistern or dungeon, fountain, because the source of a fountain would be under water, underground, pit, and well. Now, all those words come out of that same Hebrew word, bor. In Genesis, Joseph was thrown into a bor. Remember that story, all right? One of David's mighty men killed a lion, and that lion was in a bor at the time. David cries out that God has delivered him from a horrible bor, showing us that word could also be taken figuratively. Now, there are times, truly, when the word is used to speak of death and the grave, even possibly eternal punishment. Look in Ezekiel 31 for those passages. And when the definite article is with it, the word the, it can mean all of these things. Death, grave, eternal punishment. And translators will even capitalize it sometime. The, and then capital P-I-T, the pit. The pit. So there's a vast difference between Joseph's well or hole that he was thrown into or cistern that he was thrown into and the underworld that could also be talked about by bor. But the word that is normally used for the underworld is the word Sheol. That's number 7585 in Strong. The pit, for sure. Hades, that's a Greek word. It means basically the same thing. The world of the dead. That's what we're talking about here. The world of the dead. There is a world going on beneath us. And it's not just bones, decaying flesh, which would mean nothing but just dust. The world of the dead would just be the world of dust. No, not true. There is a whole world going on below us that is dead people who have dead life, if I may say it that way. Sheol is the word that by far, and it's translated, I told you what it means generally in the Hebrew, but it's translated grave, hell, and pit. And so you see the confusion there. This is where some of the confusion has come in, is the way the translators dealt with the very same word in a different context. They translated it differently. I'm tracing the English word pit right now for English-speaking people. But the word Sheol doesn't just mean pit. It has to do with that huge pit, which starts out as the grave and turns into eternal punishment. This is the word, Sheol, that is used most often in the Hebrew to communicate the idea of something ongoing in another world. It's not often translated pit, actually. It's rendered as hell quite often because that's what we mean by it, the eternal punishment of the lost, far more than a hole in the ground. Though that hole, a grave, may be the entry point of the pit. You see how all that fits together. Righteous spirits go somewhere, right? They go up. All the bodies go to a hole in the ground, just an ordinary hole in the ground. All bodies go there. Or buried out at sea, whatever. They all just, you know. But there's spirits inside those bodies. There's another something inside of them. The righteous spirits go up. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes, and we know that from the New Testament. They go up. The lost also take a direction upon leaving the body, and that's down into a pit. And by the time you've carried that casket to the graveyard, put them in the ground, their spirits are long gone. You don't always have to attach a spooky significance to a graveyard, though that's where I suppose evil spirits like to hang around because it's a place of death. The soul's destination, that is, the evil people, the unsaved people, it's an entirely different world where evil reigns and evil is punished by that very reigning of evil. We see a little bit of hell on the earth when evil men rule a nation. When a nation becomes more and more evil, like in America, bad things are happening here. This is not hell on earth yet, but you can see it beginning. You could see hell on earth in portions of North Korea. And where God's people suffer anywhere, that's a little bit of hell on earth. But in the ultimate hell, it's all evil all the time. And you'll see what Satan's liberty looks like one day. I won't. I trust that you won't, but it's going to be there. It's there now to a degree. We could say they're very much alive in the underworld, but in a deadly sort of way. If you're separated from God, you're dead. Now, you were dead. Before you became a Christian, you were dead, the Bible says, in your trespasses, in your sins, you were dead. When Christ came in, you became alive to God. So there's a possibility of human life going on, and yet it'd still be death. Hell is an existence, but it's not life as God intended life to be. Those who dared to come against Moses went quickly to Sheol, according to Numbers. Chapter 16. David claims that the wicked will go into Sheol. David's son says that, and that's Solomon, that false women and their customers will be in Sheol. But not always is it that clear. Jonah claims that he called to God out of the belly of Sheol. And we know where he was, Jonah. Jesus, according to David, God promised that Jesus would not leave his soul, that the Father, would not leave Jesus' soul in Sheol. Now, that's definitely the place of the dead, but still a place in this case from which one can be retrieved. But still also a pit. It shows us how much that prophet Jonah was being punished, even in the fish's belly. There was a punishment of hell in there. And how far down Jesus was willing to go for us also. Then there's Shakat, number 7845. Shakat, the pit, figuratively. It means destruction. It's translated corruption, destruction, ditch, grave, and there it is again, pit. Shakat, those are the three words, bor, Sheol, and Shakat, that are translated pit in the Old Testament. You have to know which word's being used and in what context. The usages of this word seem to overlap. That is, Shakat I'm talking about now. They kind of overlap with both of the other words, bor and Sheol. They carry, to me, no specific significance in the research. We, too, in English, use different words to express basically the same idea. That doesn't mean one word is more significant than the other. Same in Hebrew. In the case of this study, we might say hellfire, hell, the pit, the lake of fire, Hades. We mean the very same thing. In every instance, we're talking about the same thing. Well, in the New Testament, pit is translated by the Greek phrehar. Okay, please understand now, we're talking about the word pit in English only and trying to trace it down. There's a lot of other things you could do with this study, but I'm not doing those. I'm doing this one. Pit is translated by the Greek phrehar, which takes us back to the Hebrew bor. It's kind of that kind of idea. It's a pit. A hole in the ground, a cistern, a well. Jesus talked about a certain donkey falling into a certain pit. Now, the only other time it's used in the New Testament as pit, it takes on an entirely different meaning. It has not only a definite article attached to it, this phrehar, but also includes the word bottomless. Wow, you start out with a hole in the ground, a cistern, a pit, with no bottom. Is that possible? Well, if it's in the scripture, it's quite possible. Of course, and I can imagine it. I don't think this is necessarily it, but you can imagine that through gravitational pull, a tunnel, circular tunnel, right? Pulling the objects that are carried along and around the innards of the earth somewhere, just making it keep on moving and moving and moving. It's like a pit. It's like you can't stop. Falling forever. No peace, no destination. Maybe every once in a while a demon that's down there is pulling you aside to the ledges along the way to torment you or throw you in the lake for a swim. I'm talking about the lake of fire that's down there too. Then back, throwing you out into the pit again just to keep on falling. How's that for eternity? Not until the end of the Bible does this truth come out. The pit. Spoken of by prophets and historians of the Old Covenant turns out to be a place of unutterable horror where Satan amasses his troops and sends them out to the planet occasionally. The Antichrist himself waits there, according to John, being fueled with venom and power to strut around the earth for his few years before his public demise. Yeah, I know you're looking in the news every day for the Antichrist. He's not there, folks. He's just not there. The Bible tells you where he is in Revelation 17. He's waiting. He's in the bottomless pit right now, being held by an angel, a restraining angel. And when that angel is told to release that demon, that Antichrist, I'm sorry, he'll come onto the earth in a miraculous way, according to Paul in Thessalonians. But I'm not supposed to be talking about that right here. You got to read my books about that. It's been a long fall already for Satan. From the top of that heavenly mountain where he was as he was created, down to the atmosphere of the earth, down to the land, and then below the land to a pit whose bottom cannot be reached. Now, pit is not translated any other way in the New Testament, except where the woman at the pit calls that pit Jacob's pit. You remember the woman at the well? That word is Frehar, pit. But we do know that Sheol in the Old Testament has become Hades in the Greek language. Same idea, the place of the dead, with everything that goes with that. But I'm telling you, we're concentrating on the word pit here. We must see all these words as a family. Pit, grave, hole, hell, well, cistern, prison. And check every context carefully to see what's being said. The basic meaning of all of them is merely, right, a hole in the ground. It can be a harmless hole filled with water. It can be a simple grave where bodies but not souls are stored temporarily. Or it can be that greater hole that John saw at the end of God's revealing of truth to his church that encompasses the entire scope of the prison created for those who have rejected God and his Son. We are told that Jesus went and preached in such a prison, right? And Peter? Yeah, he preached to a prison company. As a spirit he was, while his body lay in a hole in the ground. Soon he was to be taken out of the underworld forever. But while he was in the vicinity, because he tasted death for every man, he did indeed announce his triumph to those evil spirits. We're not told anywhere that he suffered in hell. We're not told that he suffered in the bottomless pit. It would seem to me that his suffering for sin was accomplished on the cross, not in the grave, right? The pit, from eternity's standpoint, is Satan's prison. It's the place of the dead. It's the entry place into eternal suffering apart from God for those who so desired to be apart from him. It's a place to be avoided. And this avoidance can only come by way of the blood shed by the spotless Son of the living God. Serious, serious stuff here. Tomorrow, let's go back to praying hide. God gave this man the desire to spend his life praying for people that they wouldn't go into the pit. But there is a pit. There is a place where the enemy is punished. And perhaps soon, Revelation 17:8, the beast will ascend out of that bottomless pit.